All right, I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke, the 17th chapter. Look at Luke 17. Okay, Jesus talked about two things that had passed years ago. I'm talking like 6,000, 4,000 years before, and Jesus brings them up. And he says, here is how it's going to be after the rapture of the church. When Jesus comes in the clouds, and we rise together to meet him in the clouds, and we go back to heaven with him for 7 years. Then the tribulation period will begin, 7 years of horrible tribulation. And then he will come back after that. Okay, that's a whole story of its own. But so Jesus is talking about the end of that time, the second advent, when he comes back then, okay? And after the end of the tribulation period. So look at Luke chapter 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate and they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all of them. All of those that were rebellious, I wouldn't go in the ark. They were all destroyed. Verse 28. And then he says, likewise. That means just like that. Just like Noah's day. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. There's that word again. Excuse me. It destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who was on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. And then look what he says in verse 32, very short verse. Remember Lot's wife? Whosoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life will preserve it. You say, what? What does he say? Well, all of those, as you know, are Jesus' words, are written in red. He was preaching to the people. And without preaching on the end time, that's not what I'm doing here tonight. But there is something I just felt like I should tell you, but I do want to say this. Jesus gives us warning that in the last of the last days, that it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah. It was just an absolute disastrous, corruption, evil, horrible mess, just like we see today, except now we just have more of it. Probably about the same. Verse 28. Then he talks about in the days of Lot, it was the same thing. Just filth and corruption had just covered the earth as the waters cover the sea. But he said on Sodom, and then, you know, there was another city called Gomorrah. Sodom was one city, Gomorrah was another. And he says, I rained down fire and brimstone from heaven, and I destroyed all them. But with Noah, how did God destroy the earth? With water. Here, with Lot, with fire and brimstone. Okay, but then Jesus tells us a woman to remember in verse 32. He says, but I want you to remember Lot's wife. Now, the only woman that he told us to remember, none of us talk about her. I may have preached one or two messages on her. Not really on her, probably just brought it out over these 40 years, haven't said too much about her, and yet Jesus said, remember her. We don't say much about her. And so if she was that important, that he said, there's something I want you to remember about her, what she did, who she was. So let's go back to the book of Genesis and take a look, and maybe we'll see what he was talking about. Again, I can't, it's just too much to read the entire thing, but if you want to read more about Sodom and Gomorrah, you can look in verse 19. Chapter 19. All right, look at me a minute. I'll say this. If you went back to Genesis 13, you would see where God gave, he called Abraham out to another country. So he left his home and went. And he took his tag-along nephew with him, and his nephew's name was Lot. So he took Lot along with him. And when they get out there, their herdsmen, they were so wealthy, and they had grown so big. I mean, there were so many people. And now it wasn't Lot and Uncle Abraham that started having the schisms and the fussings that going on. It was the herdsmen, the people that took care of the cattle and the sheep, and they're the ones that started fussing among themselves. So Abraham said, look, I think we just need to part ways. It's all right. You know, the Holy Spirit had led him that way. And so they split ways, and he said, Lot, because Abraham was such a good man. He was very humble, very meek, very sweet, very rich. And he said, Lot, my son, he said, look out across these plains. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You just take whichever part you want. Well, with Lot being young and, you know, impressed with beauty and material things, he said, I'll take this area. And it was so beautiful, the part that he chose. It was just like a beautiful oasis. And so he looked out there and said, I'll take this beautiful place out here near Jordan. The rivers run through it. And poor Abraham, he gets the desert. Okay, it's like desert hills, it's wilderness. But Abraham didn't say anything. He just said, we'll go that way. Because you know why? Abraham knew that God blessed him no matter what. If I go to the desert, I'm blessed. I'll even get more wealthy. I'll get more abundance. God will love me. I mean, he's just going to take care of me. But Lot didn't have a lot going on for him, though his name was Lot. So he thought, nah, I'm going to take the best. So anyway, they split ways. But the Bible tells us that Sodom was so evil. And there was just so much evil going on. And everything that you and I hear about today, the lies, the murders, the violence, the sexual activity, all these things was happening there. And it seemed like Lot and his people began to move a little closer and a little closer over to Sodom. It said gradually they just kept moving closer to Sodom. They enjoyed that lifestyle. And they just kept getting closer and closer until they were inside Sodom. There they were. Okay, so here comes, let's see. Girls, I hope I'll stay on path with you tonight, Gabby. Okay, let me just tell you how bad it was. And most of you know this, but for the sake of you that's never heard the story, it was so bad in Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality had taken over. Okay, so Sodom was a place of sodomy. It's one of the reasons for its name. And so Lot had two beautiful girls, virgins. And so these angels came to visit Lot one night. And the angel said, Lot, listen, God is going to destroy Sodom. And God sent me to tell you, you get your girls and you get your son-in-laws. Excuse me. I said they were virgins. No, they had husbands. He said, you get your son-in-laws and get those girls. Okay, I'm not sure how many girls he had. So maybe I have that story mixed up, but I want it accurate. Okay, I'm going off memory right now. Two girls, and they had two men, two husbands. So he says, this angel said, look, if we have to take you by the hand, we're bringing you out tonight. And pretty soon there's a knock on the door. And these men are standing at the door, and they're saying, who were those men that came in there? We want to know them. That means no, like the first time you saw that in Genesis with Adam knew Eve, okay, intimately. We want to know those men, these angels said. And so Lot said something, was absolutely crazy. I'll never get it. He says, look, if you'll not touch these beautiful angels, if you'll not touch these men, I'll give you my beautiful daughters. He offered to give his daughters to those men for this sodomy. And isn't that kind of like America today in the world? They're just giving their children. And you see what they're doing. The mutilation and the things they want to do to the children and sue the parents. If that child goes to school and and is a little bit feminine or a little tomboy. Well, listen, honey, maybe you're not just a tomboy. Maybe you're really a boy. And if mom and daddy don't support that, they said, we can sue you. Yeah, we'll just come down on you. So this was, I'm telling you, there were a lot of similarities. And Jesus said, don't do it. I want you to remember some things here. So let me, I want to just read a little bit. Let's go up Genesis 19. You want to see verse 12? Oh, man. Verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place. Okay, the angels are saying, take them out of this place. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So I want to encourage you tonight to know that the outcry of God's people is going into heavenly places, and he has heard us. Okay, if he heard them, he heard us. He said, I've heard it all, and it's come to me, and so I'm going to destroy this place. Verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, there you go, and said, get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his son-in-laws, or to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. They thought he was teasing. Would they think father-in-law would cut up about something like that? Verse 15, and when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, why Lot wanted to linger, I don't know. But while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. Just literally took him on the outskirts of the city or out of the city limits. Verse 17. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, now escape for your life. Do not, remember this, do not look behind you or stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain lest you be destroyed. And then Lot said to them, please, no, Lord. And then what he says is, Lord, send me over here to this little city called Zoar. Just let me go over there. God says, okay, I'm going to be merciful to you. I'll let you go to Zoar. But listen to this. God says, now go now. Because he says, God says this. I can't do anything until you're over there at Zoar. And when I know you've arrived there, then I will send that fire and brimstone down on Sodom. There are times you're waiting on a blessing tonight. You've prayed and you've waited and you've seen nothing. But just like God said, I can't do anything until you're over there. There are certain places that God wants to get us to before that thing is released. So let's keep that in our heart tonight. So he said, I favored you, but you get on over there. All right, look at verse 24. Verse 23. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. And then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord of the heavens. And he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. Everything was destroyed. But, look at verse 26, but his wife looked back. His wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She was told, she was the only one, Lot, his children, the boys, the girls, those young adults, the angel said, you look straight ahead, don't look either way. But she just had to see what was going on back there. What was that called? In the book of Hebrews, it calls it willful disobedience. She knew she was disobeying, and yet she had to look. You say, what was the big deal? Well, I guess simply because God said so. If God says don't look, he's got a good reason for that. He's like, you're going to be in big trouble if you look back. So here's what I just wanted to say tonight is that for Jesus to mention this, and it was the only woman in the Word that he said, remember Lot's wife. Now, he's bringing a big old sermon there. I mean, he's talking about Noah's Ark. He's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. All of a sudden, he just goes into this woman and he says, now you remember her. There was something that caused her to look back. Now, she paid a big price for doing that, but I'm going to tell you, we will too. And you know what really hurts us? Let me, because this is prayer meeting, this is where this came from. One of the things that will hinder your prayers, you're praying for something that you really need. You really need that miracle. You really need to see that happen. You may even be saying, God, if this doesn't happen, I don't know what we're going to do. You've got to see that, okay? But you cannot be like Lot's wife, and you can't keep looking back to the way it used to be. Forget the way it used to be, okay? That's not it. God said, behold, I will do a new thing, and you'll not even know how I do it. And in one part of the word, Isaiah, he said, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe what I'm going to do for you. So when he says, you keep looking forward, don't you look back, don't remember. Well, it didn't work that time. I remember praying, and I remember this, and I remember that, and it didn't work. Don't do that. It will hinder your prayers, and it will keep your prayer possibly from being answered because you're constantly remembering something else. Listen, we can't wish for what we don't want. I think sometimes we just wish for what we really don't want. You worry so much about this. We worry about that's going to happen, this is going to come. Well, if you keep worrying about that, you don't want that thing, so why do you keep thinking about it? You don't want it. And so he said, you just remember Lot's wife and don't be looking at that. Look straight up. All right, one more scripture. Let's go over to Philippians 3, and I'll show you how Paul did it. This is my last one. Philippians 3:13. There's a way Paul taught us. He said, this is what I do. He said, man, I just do this one thing. He knew Jesus' words. He was there when Jesus said, remember this woman. But she's the woman we all forget. I can't remember. I don't know. Maybe I've heard a sermon maybe once in my life or twice about this woman, Lot's wife, but you don't hear many people preaching about her, including myself. She got into it tonight. But look at this, Philippians 3:13. The Apostle Paul said this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. This is one thing that I practice and I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what did he say? This one thing I do. I forget the things of the past. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, tomorrow is today. Yesterday is back there. But today is today. And we can't borrow any trouble from tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. So don't be worried about tomorrow. Just live in today. Because the devil knows this. If he can get us either worried about the future or concerned about the past, then he's hindered our prayers. Then he gets us caught and he gets us discouraged and depressed. But if we stay right here in the moment, right now you're at church, I'm at church, everything's fine. Everything's good. But when you go home, if you let your mind stray out there into the future or into the past, you're acting like Lot's wife. And Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget the past. And then he said, I forget those things that are behind me and I reach forward. What are you reaching forward to for the things of God? You don't know what's going to be in tomorrow, but you can reach for what God has for you. He's got good things for us. I mean, we have the mind of Christ. We don't always act like it because we don't have the revelation of it. I'm constantly saying, God, open the eyes of my heart, the ears of my heart, that I might hear and know and understand. So we forget the things behind us, like Paul. Reach for the things of God. And then he said, press toward the goal for the prize. There's a prize. God has a prize for every one of us. So he said, reach for that prize. This woman talking about VBS the other night, she kept talking about all these prizes. We're going to give the kids, if they memorize, if they do this, if they do that, they get a prize. But God said, I don't want you to think, my little children, that I don't have prizes for you. I have prizes. But I want you to remember Lot's wife, because she got herself she got paralyzed. I'm telling you, if you keep looking back, you will be in such paralysis. You've heard me talk about the way I got into fearful paralysis by looking forward. I was so afraid and I was so scared that a disease was going to come upon me years ago. And I just got paralyzed with fear for 3.5 years. I don't know if it was like anxiety attacks, but it just attacked me. And I'm telling you, when I came out of that, I came out so strong with a strong mind, paid the price. But there was a prize for me, and there's a prize for you. And so keep looking for the prize, church. Come on, are you ready? We're going to look for that prize, it says, that comes from him, the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's pull those lights down. We got about 15 minutes. I want you to find a place to pray. You can walk and pray, our guests tonight. You can walk around and pray. You can come up here and lay down on this floor or up there. We got altars all the way around. You can join us at the altar. You can go find a seat back there in the corner and get all alone with God. But let's just go talk to him and say, Lord, I don't want to look back. I want to be like Paul, Jesus. Oh, God, help us to be Paul-like. Jesus told us, he said, don't you look back. Don't look back. Don't look back at the way it was. Don't look from side to side. You look to me. Let us do that one thing. If we can do anything, help us like Paul. Go ahead and give us some praying music, please. In Jesus' name, just reach. Reach for the prize. He's got a prize. You say, I don't know, that thing looks bad. It looks like I'm going to lose the business. It looks like this. It looks like that. It looks like my mother's going to pass. No, you look for the prize. You let God keep fate in his hand. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and glorify the Lord. Come on and praise him before we ask him. Father, we're a people that's holding on to that and looking toward it. Help us never to look back. But Lord, to look forward and reach for the prize. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, cause us to go forth in great faith, in great mercy for each other. And Lord, those we see, make us soul winners, Lord. When we're out there, let us be God inside minded. Lord, remind us that we are missionaries when we walk out to Save Mart or into a restaurant, into the post office, no matter where we are. Lord, we are always a missionary. We give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us tonight. Thank you for everybody that's in the house with us. And let me say a blessing to you. I bless you with the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. I bless you with health and wealth and abundance and blessing. I bless your home. I bless your marriage. I bless all of you that are maybe going somewhere this week on a vacation or just a trip to the beach. We bless you. May you come home safely. We bless you that are sick in your body, that you are whole and healed. May your home be blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.